This is like magic. It's all around you. You can feel it.
Hey there, Wendigos. It's your girl Morning Wood here. You know the deal by now. You can get some totally sweet bonus content on our Patreon at patreon.com/AlexandriaArchives for just $1 a month. What you may not know is that we just updated our patron tiers, and we're pretty excited about it. For $5 a month, you'll be thanked on the air by Gore or myself. For $10, we're totally stoked to announce our exclusive patrons-only Alexandria University pins. For $20 a month, not only will we name part of the town after you, but you'll also get an ironclad pint glass, perfect to keep a frosty eldritch stout in on game nights. And most awesome, for $35, you get it all. The bonus content, the patrons only pin, the part of the town named after you, the ironclad pint glass, and also an Alexandria University or Bob Stampotacon shirt. Shirts are in extremely limited supply, so if you want them, you're going to have to get in there soon. Now that that's out of the way, I'd like to take a minute to thank some patrons who were especially generous. Charlene Ramler, Alexa Daniels, Edwin Torres, Michael Sarles, Amanda Osmond Balzell, Montague Yamas, Tracy Soper, Josh, Abby Browning, Ariel Teague, and Frank McIsaac. And thanks to everyone who has patroned us so far. You keep my beer fridge cold and my micro shiny and chrome. So from all of us here at WHAU The Wow Signal, thank you. Enjoy the show and yeah, yeah, Wendigos. Like sand through an hourglass, these are the days of our lives. Our lives as Wendigos, anyway. And if you're listening now, Wendigos, you might well be off enjoying some sand and a healthy dose of sun besides. Well, not now, because it's midnight. But, like, soon, because it's summer. That's right, everyone. This is our first official summer 2018 broadcast. And while I'm wishing those of you off enjoying sexier shores the very best, I'm perfectly happy to be here at home on the edges of the Great Dismal. Personally, I'm not a big fan of sand. Not just because it's coarse and rough and it's irritating and enough so to push someone over to the dark side, but also because I'm terrified of sharks. Yes, I know they're in the water, but I've read too much Junji Ito to let that lull me into a false sense of security. In any case, there are any number of places you might be besides out on the beach, or here in Alexandria, but there's one place you're definitely not. And that's the AU Student Union poll. That's right, Wendigos, I have exciting news for you. Despite a certain pig-headed administrator's best efforts, construction on the pool has come to a screeching halt once more as an explosion of undetermined origin has damaged some of the construction equipment. Yay! So, if the Honors Council sentenced you to work on the pool as punishment for some offense, you're going to report to the library instead to help out with a weeding project outside of the special collections. And that's... well, it's maybe safer. Maybe. And that's something, right? Oh, hey, Bobline. Hey, Bobs, what's up?
Get me out of here, I'm Dubs.
Damn it, Gore. Now what? I thought you made it through finals in one piece.
Ish. Anyway, that's old news. Shit's got kinda weird around here since the whole Ragnarok thing.
The Ragnarok thing? As opposed to the Ragnarok thing? The Ragnarok thing that Kiel still hasn't bothered to explain to me?
Yeah, well, join the club, sister. I still have no idea what this whole thing is about either. Every time I almost catch them talking about it, they shut up as soon as they realize I'm there. Recursive is up to something in the garage, which means it's no man's land, which means I can't get to a car. Ergo, I need you to come pick me up.
I don't have a car.
So, borrow one.
I don't know how to drive.
What do you mean you don't know how to drive? What kind of independent, red-blooded American woman are you?
An independent, red-blooded American woman who spent most of her formative years overseas or on military bases. If I want to be the instrument of my own demise that badly, I'll think of more interesting ways to make it happen.
Well, I think that's... Gore, I need you to get off the line. We're in a code orange. Repeat, code orange. What the... Isn't that like a soft drink?
I think you mean code... Wait, did you say soft drink? Where are you even from?
I don't know, don't care. Code Orange, Gore. All hands on deck. We've got someone or something trying to push past the light energy wards on the house. And I don't know how much longer they'll hold.
Kel, what the hell is going on? Do you need me to send help?
I don't know. Have you got any of the mercenaries on speed dial?
Maybe? It's kind of a hush-hush thing, but... Okay, what about the cops, or...
Well, what about me? I don't want to be here when something gets past the energy whatever. See, MW, this is what I'm talking about. If you had a car...
I can't be responsible for taking that kind of toll on the environment, Gore.
Prepare for breach! Later, MW!
Oh, for... It's always something with them, isn't it? As if this town wasn't weird enough before they all showed up. Okay, let's see. I'm gonna have a guest calling in next, and I'd like you all to welcome back a familiar face. Or voice. Wendigos, let's wish Senior Spirit Club Rep Gwen A.C. Tenenbaum a resounding hello.
Actually, Morningwood, that's super senior, as in going on 5 years strong here at Alexandria University.
5 years? Wow, that's like a lot of AU. What made you decide to stick around?
Well, I decided I really wanted to distinguish myself as a hiring candidate and build my minor in prestidigitation up to a second major.
Prestidigitation. There's an SAT word. I didn't even know AU offered that.
They don't. I'm just messing with you. Actually, it was finance, which isn't much different when you really think about it. Anyway, now that spring 2018 has wrapped up, I wanted all the Wendigos staying on through the summer to know what exciting events are going on in town.
That's awesome. I am planning on catching up on my talking comics personally, if only so I can figure out why everyone is still screaming about Infinity War.
Oh my god, you haven't seen it yet, girl!
Spoilers! So, events?
Right, events. Well, first up, there's going to be a deconstructed pizza-eating contest at Pepper's on the 22nd, which should be interesting. Competitors can sign up as late as lunchtime the day of, and the goal is to eat as much bread, cheese, and toppings as possible in 10 minutes. Marinara sauce will be provided to wash it all down. The winner wins free pizza for 6 months, assuming they ever want to have pizza again after that. Then, Tolstoy for Babies will be performing at the Ironclad on the 30th. Sam hasn't let a band in since the Missandry Bears put a rogue mansplainer through the window, so you won't want to miss this.
Where are the Missandry Bears these days?
No one knows! Lead singer Deborah Del Toro was supposed to walk graduation back in May, but she never showed. Probably a good idea, considering both AU and Alexandria Township PD were waiting to nab her on some pending charges. Rumor has it she and the girls are on the run, and they may have been spotted as far away as New Orleans.
I can't imagine they're up to any good there.
Absolutely not. Now, the biggest event of the summer this year is bound to be the 4th of July bash being held out in the University Village. If any of you new summer freshmen are listening, that's what we call the East Residential District, where you'll find the residence halls. Get it? Food stations will be set up throughout the area, with activities encouraging some friendly competition between various student organizations, as well as teams assembled by dorm residents. It's just going to be good old-fashioned fun time, so don't miss it.
Will there be fireworks?
Officially, that will depend on weather conditions. Unofficially, I'm pretty sure fireworks last year set one of the river islets on fire, so who knows?
Aw, come on, just because of a little accident like that?
The fire may or may not have exposed evidence of human sacrifice. Like, recent evidence.
Oh. Wow. Never mind then. That seems like a good place to wrap things up. Thanks for your time, Gwen A.C. I'll definitely be looking forward to those events.
Anytime, MW. Ia Ia Wendigos!
Ia Ia Wendigos, I think it's about time to meander on into the Alexandria archives, don't you? Let's hear another story from your Alexandria community.
The Yankee comes in the back, brushing by my casket and his creased wool, smelling like he just swum in his leather and pine cologne. He fishes his way through the mourners who stand around, fanning away the July heat, and takes up a spot, nonchalant-like, along the back wall, opposite where my body's laid out. Next to him, our big mantel mirror faces the wall, as do the other mirrors in the house. Kitchen side of a coffin and a mirror bodes nothing but ill for the looker. The Yankee draws narrow-eyed glances. At a southern man's funeral, he can't pass without notice, particularly by the dead man. Ada, my wife, moves quick to close the door to the kitchen before Clovis, her favorite calico, and my enemy in life, can get into the main room. Cats are Satan's minions. Given half a chance, they'll jump in a casket and steal the soul of the recently departed. I imagine old Clovis sitting on the other side of the door, full of sneak and waiting for a chance at payback for all the swift kicks I've been giving him with my brogans when Ada's back was turned. Ada's jaw is set, her mouth pulled sour serious and straight as a plumb line across her face. She's holding in her misery. I feel for her. After the hullabaloo of my sitting up, and then my funeral, she'll be all by herself. Dutiful Ada. She was pretty in her day. First time I ever saw her, on my way to pull corn on the Johnson's farm, just outside Alexandria proper, I'd been moved to whistle in her appreciation. Her red hair danced like a brush fire above her mama's wash, as she hung it on the line to dry. She'd scowled at first, but then winked at me, her eyes shiny like a needle in a haystack, her grin sharp like one too. There's no blessing greater than the love of a southern woman. Ain't no man worthy of it neither. You gotta be regularly thankful, but in the end, you always fall short of living up. And I'll be the first to hold my hand up there. Folks move up and peek into my casket, then depart to the left where the kitchen table has been drug out in the living room. On it sits a slew of casseroles, biscuits, some slaw, ham, mashed taters, and red-eye gravy. A sweet potato pie sets in amongst it all. One of Ada's friends sits at the end of the casket, fly flap at the ready. Her lips are sucked in on account of her dingy false teeth soaking in a glass underneath her folding chair. I look down at myself for the first time. The casket is draped in yellow veils to keep away the summer flies. A fat, black housefly hangs by its entrails from the veil above my ripening form. I don't appear nothing like how I remember. It's like someone pulled the plug out of me, and I deflated down to my bones. Two heavy buffalo nickels sit atop my closed eyes. I gotta admit, I never reckoned sitting ups was much good for anything. I figured the spirit would have took off by this point. Truth be told, I'm a bit fidgety standing around here waiting for something, I don't know what, to happen. Thinking of death puts me in the mind of the Yankee again, so I glance about for him. He's still in the back, now standing next to my empty rocking chair, an idle hand tipping it back and forth. Folks have shied away from him. Rocking an empty rocking chair is some serious bad luck, like spinning a chair on one leg or opening your pocket knife and letting someone else close it. All of a sudden, a racket busts out from over near the buffet, and who do I see but Delma Maynard? She's half on the floor, legs buckled under her, her face a beat and temples flaring with veins, just a wailing.
Wilbur, she hollers. Oh, Wilbur, why?
Delma's my sister-in-law, wife to my recently deceased brother Percy, a fine woman with long legs that you can work like oars. Old Percy never truly appreciated her. Delma didn't make half as much of a fuss at Percy sitting up. Amongst the mourners, whispers spout like air leaks from a doodlebug tire. Quick as a shot, Ada's behind her, her strong arms hooked underneath Delma's. She roughly puts Delma back on her feet, who promptly starts in another wail. The woman with the fly flap smacks her lips and says, what I figure everyone's thinking, Lord, she's just a sister-in-law. Before I know what's what, the Yankee's there behind Ada to help. His pale hand slides its way all too familiar-like to the small of my wife's back. She arches into it, just for a second, making a curve I ain't seen in many years. The plumb line snaps, and a smile whips across her lips. Ada's eyes shine like the needles I once knew, but they pierce everything I thought I'd known. The Yankee lifts blubbering Delma and kicks the kitchen door open to carry her out the back. At that moment, Clovis sees his chance and bolts. The cat leaps, pulling down the veils over my body and lands in my casket. He knocks the coins off my eyes, and they fly open. And from those assembled come gasps and much uncomfortable shuffling. Oh, Ada, I can see it all now.
Human sacrifice? I mean, it's not that I'm surprised exactly, just... You know what? I don't even want to think about it anymore. All it's going to do is give me nightmares. And it's just about my bedtime, Wendigos. It's dark out there.